Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Master's voice is calling to his harvest. He's calling you. Now does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it. His own. Will is much when my God is in it. Waver not for wealth or fame, for there's a crown and you can wait if you'll know in Jesus. Now when this conflict on earth is ended and our race on this earth is run, he'll say, if we are faithful,
good morning and happy Mother's Day. I trust that this will be a wonderful day of celebrating with family and friends. And if your mother is still among the living, I hope that you're able to be with your mom today. My mom's been gone now for 26 years, and there's hardly a day that passes that I don't think of her and remember something about my mom. One thing I remember about my mom is that she really enjoyed music, and her two favorite songs will be featured on the program today. Little is Much When God Is In It. You just heard that great song by the late Larry Ford. And then later in the program, I'm going to play The Love of God, sung by my mom's grandson, my nephew, Mr. Chris Allman, who sings tenor for Greater Vision. And I hope you enjoy the music today. And then I'm going to continue playing this sermon that I preached at Flintwood Wesleyan Church titled Great Salvation. I hope you'll pray for me as I'm involved in services this month of May. On this Mother's Day weekend, I am at Charity Baptist Church in High Point, North Carolina, with our friends there. And if you don't have a church home, I know they would welcome you there. And if you don't have an evening service at your church, why don't you join us Sunday night, Mother's Day, at 6 o'clock at Charity Baptist Church in High Point, North Carolina. And then following our time at Charity Baptist Church, I'm going to travel to Thomasville, Alabama, to the Methodist Protestant Church there. And I will be there May 17, 18, and 19, and finish out the month in Odin, Indiana, a weekend revival at the Church of the Nazarene there. So I do cover your prayers as I travel and minister at these various locations. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this special weekend as we celebrate Mother's Day. I'm thankful for my mom. I wouldn't be where I am today, Father. And you know this, if it weren't for the prayers of my mom. There's hardly a day that passes that I don't think of her or have some memory that crosses my mind. And I'm thankful for a godly mother. I pray that you'd be with those that are sick and shut in. I pray that as people gather in church today to honor moms across the country and across the world, I pray that you would bless in those services. Thank you so much for your love in our lives. I pray and ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to pray for me, and don't forget to support the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. You can write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell, the guilty pair, bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child, he if we will think, the ocean filled and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall saints and angels song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how
But then there are others who will try to solve the problem of sin by talking it out and admitting it. I appreciate the transparency of people. I've had people tell me, when I talk to them about their relationship with Christ, they'll look you right in the eye and they say, well, I know I'm a sinner. I know I sin. And they'll tell me about their life. Tell me what they do. I was holding a camp meeting in South Carolina several years ago. I was the youth worker at that particular camp meeting. And one night before the evening service, a young man, college student, came up to me and he said, hey, Lane, can I talk to you tonight after the service? I said, sure. And so I met him at the boys' dormitory after the service was over. And I got into his car. I'm a car guy. Many of you know that. And he had this beautiful, absolute, gorgeous Malibu, Chevrolet Malibu Super Sport. 396 under the hood. 4-speed. It was a gorgeous automobile. And I slid into the front seat beside him. And we talked about his car. Then he got quiet for a moment. And he began to tell me his story. He said, my dad bought me this car when I went to college. His dad was a physician in the city. He said, I went off to college and I got involved in the drug scene. Got a young lady pregnant. And he said, I know I've not lived the right kind of life. I've been taught better. And after he explained all that he had done, and he was very open with me. His name was Gervin. I said, Gervin, I really appreciate your confidence in me that you would share this with me. I said, but you know something, Gervin? All I can do for you regarding that is pray for you. And I'll tell you this, I will do that. I will pray for you. But why don't we right now, here in the front seat of your car, why don't we just bow our heads and you pray, you tell Jesus what you told me and ask him to forgive you of what you've done and believe him for your own personal salvation. Amen. You know what he said to me? He said, but Lane, if I do that, I won't have any friends anymore. And he drove off into the night. Years passed. I drove up in the parking lot of the Free Methodist Church in Evansville, Indiana. The pastor was waiting on me, and I got out and I greeted the pastor. And the pastor said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no, not really. He said, I met you at Hemingway camp meeting in Hemingway, South Carolina, many years ago. Oh, I said, yes, I remember that. And I said, Bill, his name was Bill. I said, Bill, do you remember a man, young man by the name of Gervin Greer? He said, yes. I said, whatever happened to him? Did he ever get right with the Lord, do you know? He said, I'm no man's judge. But as far as I know, he never gave his heart to the Lord. I said, what happened to him? One night, single car accident, hit a tree, ushered out into eternity. How shall we escape? Second part of the question. How shall we escape if we neglect? If we neglect so great salvation. We can neglect our salvation for a number of reasons. And I think this probably has to be most important to the young people, more relevant to them perhaps. But I'm sure it attaches itself to many of us as well. We can neglect our salvation because we want to be popular. Because if I get really tight with Jesus, if I really go all in with Jesus, then I'm not going to be as popular as I used to be. And I don't want that to happen. I want people to like me. And if I really identify with him and start serving him and talking about him, then I'm going to be cast aside, ostracized. I don't want that. I'll never forget. I was watching TV one day. Years ago, young people, there was a program on called The Cathedral of Tomorrow. And the preacher was Rex Humbard. And one Sunday I was watching that program, and his daughter, Liz Humbard, was the speaker. She was a young lady, and she got up in front, and it was Youth Sunday for that particular service, and she got up in front of those young people. I'll never forget what she said to those young people. She said, you know, young people, 100 years from today, all of those friends that are so meaningful to you right now, you won't even know where they are. And I thought how true that is. We can neglect our salvation because we want to be popular. What good is that? Can they make you saved? Can they get you into heaven? How shall we escape if we neglect? We can neglect our salvation for temporal things. We get so caught up. We live in a world of materialism, and we adults can become so enamored with the idea, I've got to put this away, and I've got to have this, I've got to build my bank account. But the Bible talks about that in very clear words. It talks about a rich man, and it says this rich man, he said, look at what I've got. I've got so much, I don't have enough space for all of my belongings. I'm going to tear down these barns and build bigger barns. And God came to him and said, you fool, this day your soul will be required of you. How shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? If you hear anything else I say today, would you please hear this part of the sermon? We can neglect our salvation by dismissing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I would remind you today, without meaning to sound melodramatic, one of the worst things a person could ever do is to know that God has revealed to them their need of Christ and to turn a deaf ear and walk away. Because the Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with men. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I can't even begin to come up with words in my vocabulary that describes how great this salvation is. But let me just give you two reasons why this salvation is great in closing. This salvation is great because of the cost involved to bring it to you and me. Think about that. The cost involved. He who knew no sin descended from the throne on high, took upon himself a fleshly garb, walked the face of this earth 33 and a half years, died a horrible death so that you might be saved. Because of the cost involved. We normally value something because of the cost involved. I was holding a revival. That's how I start most of my stories, it seems. I was holding a revival meeting in Glen Alpine, North Carolina. I was staying with the pastor. He was a former schoolmate of mine. And he said, hey, Lane. One morning he got up. He said, hey, Lane, they're having a big sale down at the Belk store in Morganton. Let's go down there and see what they got. I said, well, Paul, I don't need anything. Well, let's just go. I have something to do today. I said, all right. So we got in his car and we drove down to Morganton. Walked into the Belk department store, and the first department that we came to when we walked in the store was the shoe department. I've always had somewhat of a fetish for tennis shoes. Way back. Not so much now. And as I walked into that shoe department, sitting right out front in this display area was a blue suede, low-cut tennis shoe, $3. I walked over to it and I said, I don't need anything, but that's a good deal. And so I picked it up and I noticed the size was a 9. It was my size. It was blue, my favorite color. This was a God moment. And I looked at the sales lady there, and I said, ma'am, could you find me the mate to this 9 tennis shoe? She went back into the storage area, and after a prolonged period of time, she came out with a rather haggard look on her face. She said, sir, I cannot find the 9 that's mated to that shoe. But she said, I found an 8.5. Would that do? I said, well, it just so happened. My left foot is a little smaller than my right foot. And I tried it on and they fit. And I said, I'll take them. How much? He said, well, there's an 8.5 there and a 9 there. $2.50. How's that? I said, I'll take it. And I bought those tennis shoes. You know where I wore them? To mow the yard. $2.50. Didn't mean that much to me.
Yeah, okay.
But I had a pair of Nikes. They didn't cost $2.50. I wore them only when I played indoors on a basketball court. We value something according to the value, the cost involved. And I want to announce to this congregation this morning that Jesus didn't see how cheaply he could get by. He didn't go to some bargain counter and try and dicker for your salvation. He paid the highest price that could be paid. His own blood, the only begotten Son of God, gave all that you might be saved.
From Calvary, he died once for all.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. In the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point. Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. And in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana, the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church, again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.